Okay, we are going to start looking at programming today and start looking at JavaScript. We have looked at the logic for writing a program, and we're now going to try to make that work in a language. And the language we're going to look at is JavaScript. And I will tell you right up front that JavaScript is a pain in the neck because it is very picky. And if you don't get it right, it doesn't give you a lot of clues as to what you can do. You can, if you're doing it professionally, you pay money and get a good editor. And if anybody finds a good editor, let me know for free. But the ones I've looked at are not terribly great. But there's actually a lot to be learned, actually, in debugging and finding the errors, so I am not particularly concerned that it's a pain in the neck, because you need to be able to deal with it. Other languages are a lot easier to work with. Now, JavaScript is embedded in HTML. Remember that I said that HTML is not a programming language, it's a markup language. Well, when you throw JavaScript into HTML, then HTML picks up the ability to make decisions and picks up the ability to do repetition loops. And so the combination makes a web programming language, the combination of JavaScript embedded in HTML. Okay, so we're going to start out looking at programs. So on the site resources, click on programs. And then the second group down is JavaScript. Okay. So the first one I have up there is a hello. Hello world is kind of like your first program. And so we're going to look at that program. Now, the first thing is, I click on it, and that opens it. Okay, so I've now opened it. Just clicking on that will open it in whatever browser you've got. And so I have just opened this. Now, notice it's got two things. I wrote the hello world up there, and I brought up an alert that are a pop-up kind of thing that says, hello world. Okay, so now I am going to say okay to this pop-up, and it goes away, and now I've got a white background. Firefox does that. I'm not sure what the other browsers do. I would not use Explorer for this. It has a few idiosyncrasies. I would use Firefox or Chrome. So, now the key thing is if you right-click and pick View Page Source, you will see the code. And I am putting that in the handout. So just a minute and I will be back. You can see the code that is making this work. Notice it's embedded in HTML. Okay, for the first examples, I don't have anything that's kind of HTML-y in there. I am just doing embed in HTML. And the top line is red because it would like Doctype or other things like that, but I can get away without them. Okay, I'm going to bring up Notepad so I can make this bigger. Okay, so what I've got here is I've started out by telling it that this is HTML. So the browser knows it's HTML. Now, what the browser is expecting is HTML. I've got to tell it, no, we're going to use JavaScript. So I'm putting in a command, or a tag rather, that says script type equals text JavaScript. So it knows that I am working with JavaScript at this point, and JavaScript is embedded in the browser, so it's fine with that. Then I did a write, and to write on the screen, I use document.write, and that writes on the document. The document is considered to be the screen that you can put stuff on. So I'm doing a write onto the screen. So document.write. Then I put parentheses for what I want to write. And I want to write a literal. I want to write a literal hello world. So I am writing a literal that says hello world, so that's in quotes. Okay? And that writes out to the document. And then I go to an alert, which got me the pop-up. And I do the same thing. I put an alert, and then inside the parenthesis, I tell it what I want to put out in the alert, and it says, hello world, and hello world is in quotes. Then I close my script, and I close my HTML. Okay. So I'm closing the script and closing the HTML. So again, if we go back and we run this, so I'm clicking on hello.html, and this is what is coming up. And there is the code that generated it. So the document write generated the line up there at the top of the screen. The alert generated this line and gave me the default of the OK button so that I can just click on OK and make the pop-up go away. Okay? In the real world, we try to minimize the amount of pop-ups we use, but it can be a very helpful debugging tool, and we'll kind of use it in different ways as we're going along. Okay. Now, the other thing to notice is that at the end of each JavaScript line, I have a semicolon, and the semicolon tells that that line is complete. So I've got document write, hello world, semicolon. Alert, hello world, semicolon. So the write is acting on what is in the parenthesis. It's a function acting on whatever is in parenthesis. And the alert is also a function acting on whatever is in parenthesis. So it puts up the hello world. Questions? Okay, so what I do when I am writing JavaScript is the same thing I did when I was writing HTML. I go into Notepad or Notepad++. I write what I want to write. I save it with a .html extension because it is being embedded in .html. So I'm saving it with a .html extension. And then I open a browser and run it. So it's the same kind of way that you tested your web page, except now I'm incorporating JavaScript into the web page. Okay, so the next one that I'm going to look at is multiply HTML. Okay, now it is coming up with a prompt. In this case, it's a pop-up, but it's a pop-up asking for information. And it says, enter the first number. So I'm going to enter 5. And then I'm going to click OK. And I'd enter the second number, I'll enter 7 and say OK. and it comes back and tells me that 5 times 7 is 35. Again, to see the code, I do a right click and I click on View Page Source, and that gives me the code that I'm going to put in Notepad so that we can have it open at the same time that we look at the program. Okay, come on, you can do this. Okay, so here is the code, and the only thing that came out of this was the 35. So again, I'm starting with the HTML, and I'm telling the browser this is a script. And the type of script it is, it's written in text, and it's using the language JavaScript. Then I set up a bunch of variables. And VAR tells it that it's a variable. Actually, as you'll see later on, you can get away with leaving out the VAR sometimes. So VAR tells me it's a variable. So I'm setting up there 3 memory variables. I'm setting up a variable memory called answer, a variable called firstNum, and a variable called secondNum. And I'm giving them all an initial value. Okay. So I'm defining a variable, giving them an initial value. So it is setting up something called, why is it only want to do it when I go down, not when I go back up? But anyway. So it is setting up memory variables. And the memory variables are called answer. And it's giving answer an initial value of 0. And it's setting up first num. And it is giving that an initial value of 0. And it is second num. Now, JavaScript is very, very case sensitive, which means that capitals and lowercase are not the same. If you look at code for letters of the alphabet, the code for a capital A is different than the code for a lowercase a. It's a different set of 8 bits. 8 bits makes a byte. Every character is made up of 8 bits, which we'll look at later. But the 8 bits for a capital A is different from the 8 bits for a lowercase a. So they're not interchangeable. You can't interchange them. Now, with some languages you can, and with some things you do, but that means somebody behind the scenes wrote a program that says, if it's this code or this code. So put in the code for a capital A, the code for a lowercase a, and said, if it's either one of these, do such and such, which lets you hit an A, either capital or lowercase. But if they didn't do that, then you've got to be case sensitive. And JavaScript requires you to be case sensitive. So I set up the 3 memory variables. And then I put up a prompt. And I say prompt. And the prompt says enter the first number, comma 0. And that means that the 0 will show up in the box on the prompt. So when you see the prompt, it's going to have a 0 there. You're changing it to something else. The prompt is then assigning. So I am assigning. And remember, the assignment statement is the what we think of as an equal sign, but it's actually an assignment sign, or probably statement isn't the right word. I probably should call it a sign. It's an assignment sign. So I'm taking in a prompt and assigning whatever the user enters the first note. Then I'm taking in a prompt and assigning whatever the user enters the second note. So I entered a 5, so first num is now a 5. And then I entered a 7, so second number is now a 7. So then it drops down and says, all right, take first num, multiply by second num, and put it in answer. So 5 times 7 is 35. And that's what it puts into answer. And then I say, document write. And when I document write, it is putting out answer. So I'm saying, document write, give me the content of answer. And so it gives me the content of answer. Notice that every line has a semicolon at the end of it. Okay. So I declare the variable. They all have semicolons at the end. I put up the prompt. They have semicolons. I do the calculation, it has a semicolon at the end, and I do the document write. And this time, I am writing not a literal, but I am writing the content of the memory variable. So I'm writing the content of the memory variable. So that's the reason answer isn't in quotes. When I wanted to write a literal hello world, then I put it in quotes. But now I want to go to memory, find the content of the memory variable called answer, and show that. Questions? Yeah.
Do you have to add a zero there?
No. That just makes sure that the box is cleared out and get a zero. But no, you don't. Okay, so now we're going to get rid of the ink. And if I go back and run this, okay, notice again what is coming up is the prompt, and that zero in the box is the zero that I put right there. So that zero is the zero in the box, except the one right up there. But anyway, that's right on one thing. So that's the zero in the box. Actually, if I walk over and test that here, it just doesn't like continuing from one box to the next. Okay. Likes to make my life difficult. Okay, so that's how that works. Questions? Okay. The next one that we're going to look at is okay, and the answer is zero. The next one is multiply answer. Okay, so I'm clicking on that, and again it says, multiply, give me the things, and this time I will put in 2, and I'll put in 6. and it comes up and tells me the answer is 12. And again, remember, right click, view source shows you the code that goes with it. So right click, view page source shows you the code that goes with it. The only difference in this one is here I've got a liberal and here I've got a variable. So I want to say document right, the answer is. I want to put out that liberal. And then the comma is a separator. Because I've got two different things I want to print or write. So the comma is a separator. And notice that I put a space after the is with inside the quotes. That's so I can get a space up there. Otherwise the quote will bang into the is. Okay? So I put the space in there to make sure that I get a space between the words and the number. Okay. Okay. What I want you to do now is to write something similar to this. Go in and write a simple thing that maybe you do a divide or maybe you do a subtract. Just don't do an add. An add has some problems that we will look at. So go in, write a small little program, do a subtract, do a divide. If you're having problems, that's what Eric and I are here for. So let us know if you're having problems. questions, anyone? Typing is going on still, so I have some people still entering in. Yeah.
How do you ask?
You don't. So after I tell you the next example. Well, you can look ahead to examples. Yep, slash is divide, asterisk is multiply, hyphen is subtract, and plus is plus. Remember, it's case sensitive. Remember, it's very sensitive. So if it's not working, you get the white screen of death. And then you have to go back into your old wire. So save it out from Notepad with a .html extension, and then open it in a browser. And I'm again recommending Firefox. Mainly because if we have any surprises, we'll see the same surprises. Has anybody got the white screen? Notice that my memory variables do not have an embedded space in them. Never, ever, ever do you want to put an embedded space in them. I tried to cure you of that habit in Access. If I wasn't successful, it will cure you now, because it's not going to put up with embedded spaces. Say that the script just once, yeah. Well, if you then went back to HTML and then went back to JavaScript, you'd have to declare it again. So whenever what's here is going to be JavaScript, you have to let the browser know. Anybody got any problems, or is it working? Okay, I'm going to move on to the next one. The next one says add number. Okay, so I'm going to put in 3. And 4. And notice I came up with 2 answers. Okay, so I'm going to do a file. Go back rather to this. Okay, so what I've got here now is I wanted to declare 2 answers. So I've added a memory variable called other answer. So now I've got 2 different places that I can put answers. I go down and I prompt for the first number and the second number just the way I've done. And then I said answer equals first num plus second num. And I write out the answer. But notice what I got. When I thought I was going to be adding 3 and 4, what I ended up doing is concatenating. The plus sign can mean concatenate. And it can mean add. Concatenate means put 2 things together as 1. So if I concatenate 3 and 4, I get 34. Okay, concatenate means put them together, right next to each other. So the plus sign defaults to doing a concatenate. Because you can see here when I did a 3 plus 4, I got 34. Okay? So it defaults to concatenate. I have to convince it to do an add. And the way I do that is convince it that it's dealing with numbers and therefore I want it to add. And one of the ways I can do that is say parse float first num. Parse float means turn it into a number, and specifically a floating number or a decimal. So I've now said, take first num and make it into a number. If I wanted to do a whole number, I could put parse int for parse integer. So I can say, take what is in first num and parse float it into a decimal number, so it comes up with 3. And then take and parse float the second number, and it comes up with 4. And then I said, okay, now that I've convinced you they're numbers, use the plus and add them together. And this time, it's going to come up with 7. So other answer is going to be 7. Answer was 34. Other answer is going to be 7. Now I want to write it out, but I want to write it on the next line. So I first do a document write, and I give it the BR. The BR is the HTML way of skipping a line. So I tell it the BR. I put it in quotes because I want it to be a literal. I want the browser to see the literal BR, and when it sees with the less than and greater than signs around it, and when it sees that, it knows it should break. So I want to send to the browser the literal of the less than BR greater than. When it sees that, it knows it should break down a line, and it does that. And then I do a document write, the answer is other answer, and I get the 7. So if I want to do addition, I've got to convince JavaScript that I'm dealing with numbers and that it's okay to add as opposed to concatenate. Okay, it's not going to check the data. It assumes the data is all kind of anything, string data. And so it will only add if I convince it that it's dealing with numbers. Convince it to do the add. Questions? There's more than one language that decided that the plus kind could work for both concatenate and add. In my opinion, not a good plan. Yeah. Then I would be having to go out to HTML and then come back. Okay. So, practically no. Okay. The next one actually shows you a bunch of ways to do that. So I'm going to put 6 and 8. And here are a bunch of ways that I can get that. And I didn't do parse integer, but parse integer is also a way I can do this. Parse integer is also a way. Now notice, as I said, it's case sensitive. So parse float has a capital F. Parse integer has a capital I. That's the way I gotta do it. There is no getting out of that. I have to use the caps. Okay, so here I did it a bunch of different ways. One is using parse float. Another is putting a plus sign and then putting the field in parentheses with a plus sign in front of it. And another is putting the word number in front of it with a capital N. Any of those will work, okay? The only one that didn't work was when I just said first num plus second num and I got 68. But any of these others would work. And also subsequently pass int for pass float would work if I want a whole number. Pass float allows me to have decimal numbers if I want them or whole numbers. It doesn't matter. But pass int will only allow whole numbers. And so it will truncate if you have a decimal. It will lose the decimal and just work with the whole number part of it. Okay. So this just shows a variety of ways that you can do this.
Of course, it would round down or round up.
It just truncates. So each one of these I put into a different place. I have answer, other answer, and then notice that I use number answer and plus answer, but I didn't define them. I got away with it. And the reason I got away with it is if you don't define something that you are using as an answer, it's smart enough to say, oh, I bet that should have been set up for holding something as a memory variable, and it does it for you. if I had not defined first known, then when it found first known, it would say, wait a minute, I need a definition. So the only way you can get away with not defining something is if you are using it for an answer. Because when it's taking and done the calculation and assigning it over, if it can't find the answer, it makes it for you. So it will go ahead and set up a place in memory called plus answer, and it will go ahead and set up a place in memory called number answer. Is it a good idea not to do it? No, you should do it. But you can get away with it. That's one of the things, one of the few things that JavaScript lets you get away with. Okay? You can get away with doing it. It's a better thing to define it. That is the preferred way of doing it. I obviously copied and pasted, added some stuff on, and said, oh, I forgot to do that. Or didn't say that. Noticed later that I'd forgotten to do that and decided to leave it so I could make this point. Okay, as opposed to going back and fixing it. Questions? Now, what we have here is really nothing but sequence going on. I am doing just sequence, one thing right after another. The reason why I'm doing it in JavaScript is because I want to do calculations, and that's not part of HTML either. So I want to do the calculations here, so I flipped over to JavaScript to do the calculations. But so far, I haven't asked a question, and I have not done a loop. Okay. I'm going to enter the first number. On the next one, this is math answer, and I've got a 5, and I'll enter the next number, and it's a 2. Then I am saying, enter an asterisk or a slash. So I am determining now which one I want to do. Okay, so I'm going to enter this time an asterisk. Okay. And I say okay, and it comes up with 10. Okay? So what I put in was 5 and 2, right? So I put in 5 and times 2, and that's what gave me the 10. Okay, I put in 5 and I put in 2. Now, if I look at the code for this, this is the code that I have. But it was not what I wanted to put there. Okay, so now I'm getting into a decision. So if I look at the logic on this, and I'm going to pull this over and then look at the logic flowchart. I am starting out, and I'm saying start. And then I'm coming down, and I'm setting up my variables. Okay, so I'm setting up my variables. And then I want some input from my user. So I'm putting out a prompt for first null. And then I'm putting out a prompt for second null. Okay, the rectangle means processing or setting things up. The parallelogram means I/O, input or output. So I use a parallelogram for input or output. So far I have, those are the variables. There's first num, there's second num. And then I put up another prompt where I'm taking in something I call what to do. And that's that prompt. Okay. Now I'm asking a question. And the question I'm asking is what to do equal to an asterisk. Okay. If it is equal to an asterisk, then I'm going to calculate answer equals first num using a multiply. I'm going to calculate answer using the multiply. If it is not, then I'm going to calculate answer using the divide. Then I'm closing this up, and the very next thing says to write it out. So I'm going to write out answer. And then I'm going to stop, which I can't fit in there. So I'm going to stop. So that's the logic that I'm going through. So, what I did in my logic is I asked a question. Is what to do equal to an asterisk? If it is, then multiply. Else, divide. Either way, I come up with something in answer that I'm now going to document right. Okay? So, on this one, I had the answer is 10 because I put in 5 to the first one. And I put in 2 on that one. So that meant 5 times 2 is 10. Now, if I had put in a divide, okay, I hit the wrong thing. If I had put in a divide, it would have gone and divided. So I would have taken the else and it would have divided. What if I put in a plus sign? What would it do?
Error.
Error what? Did you answer?
Error.
Error no, but then you said another word. You said divide.
I said error.
Oh, you said divide. Okay, and divide is right. If I put in a plus sign, it's not an asterisk. So I take the else and I do a divide. If I put in a B, what do I do?
Divide.
If I put in anything other than an asterisk, what do? Divide. So, this isn't too well done because I am assuming that my user is going to enter either one of the two things I asked for. And one should always assume that the user is really stupid. Okay? and that they don't have enough sense to follow directions. And they can put in anything that happens to enter their heads, okay? So, programming-wise, I need to assume that the user is really stupid. And then I need to protect myself against that. So I should have asked the specific question, is it a slash? I shouldn't have assumed that if it wasn't an asterisk, it was a slash. And we're going to look at how to fix that in a minute. So, what to do had a prompt. Now here I wanted to enter characters. So the comma, and I put a quote there, that means the box is going to be empty. Quote, space quote would have gotten me a space. Can't see it, looks empty. But quote gets me nothing or null, which means it's empty as well. Okay. And there's a real difference in some kinds of programming between whether you tell it to put a space there, which is something, there is a code for a space, or nothing. Okay? Because there is code for a space. Space is something. It's hitting the space bar on the computer and generating a code. Whereas quote means empty or null. And now I come down to my if. And I say if, and I put the condition inside parentheses. So my condition is inside parentheses. Now, I don't use a single equal sign when I'm checking for equality. I use a double equal sign. And the reason is one equal sign means a sign. Two equal signs means compare for equal. So this means compare for equal. A single means a sign. Okay. So I put, when I want to compare for equal, I put two equal signs there. Okay, so I'm asking, is what to do equal to an asterisk? If it is, I put what I want to do inside curly braces. So inside curly braces, I put the command that I want to do. If I want to do 10 commands, I put 10 commands inside those curly braces. So whatever I want to do, if it is true, I put inside the curly braces. So that's what I want to do if it's true. Else, this is what I want to do if it's false. And those are also within curly braces. Now, one other thing you should notice. The if statement does not have a semicolon after it. And the reason is the if statement isn't done. It has to deal with what to do if it's true, what to do if it's false. So it's not done. The command in here that says answer equals first num times second num, or actually first num times second num assigned to answer, has a semicolon after it because that's complete. It's a complete instruction that it can execute. But an if statement needs to have what to do if it's true, what to do if it's false, and so I need to not have a semicolon there. Okay, does this make sense? There's a few heads that are vaguely nodding. Okay. So now we're going to look at how I can fix this. So what I want to do is come back and let's get rid of the you go. And what I'm going to do is just look at the if statement for a minute. It would be the if statement would fill in there. But the if statement that I want to do is, if it's an asterisk, then I want to do the multiply. If it is not an asterisk, then I want to ask another question. Is it a divide? And if it is, I want to do the divide. And if it's not, I want to put out that it's an error. So when I have two if statements like this, these are in an OR relationship. Because if it's not an asterisk, I'm checking to see if it's a slash. I look at the bottom one and I connect its yes and its no together. And then I back up and I connect its yes and its no together. Some people actually make them all have a line and go like this. One of the examples I put out for you does it like that. It's horrible in my opinion, so I don't want you to do it. I want you to connect each yes and each no. Okay. If you bought the book, this would be a good time to look up and read the second and third chapters. If you didn't buy the book, it would be a good time to do a little research and find stuff on flowcharts. I gave you something last week on flowcharts, so it would be good to look at. Okay, so this is what I need. I need to say, if it's an asterisk, do the multiply. So I am going to say, pseudocode-wise, if it's an asterisk, then I'm going to do the multiply. Else, I'm going to ask, if it's a divide, then I'm going to do the divide. Okay. Now, when I put that into JavaScript, I'm going to have curly braces around these things. Okay? To tell it what I want to do if it's true and what I want to do if it's false. So I'm going to put in curly braces around the thing. This is what I want to do if it is true. This is what I want to do if it's false. Within the false, this I want to do if it's true. And then I probably should have put in the error. So, thinking about it, let me go and add the error to it. Multiply. Else, I want to do the false. The false asks another question. If it's a divide sign, then do the divide. Else, do the error. Okay. So, we're going to go and get the code for this and make these changes. So, here's my code. Okay, and I'm going to save this as multiorDiv.html. So I'm going to save this as multiplyorDivide.html. Okay. So, here is what I've got so far. If it's an asterisk, then I want to come down and do first times second. Else, if there's an else there, the next thing I want to do is come in and ask another question. I want to ask if what to do is equal to a slash.
Okay.
So I'm asking another question. If it's not an asterisk, I'm asking, is it equal to the slash? Okay. If it's equal to the slash, then I want to do the divide. So there's my divide. Else, I want to put out the fact that it's an error. Not have worked well. So, again, looking at the flowchart, if it's an asterisk, I want to multiply. If it is a slash, I want to divide. Not a slash, it's an error, and I am ending these. So, if what to do is equal to an asterisk, I go over and do the multiply. Okay? So what I've got is curly braces around that, basically. I go and do the multiply. Else, if what to do equals, so else, I've got a curly brace here of what I want to do if it is not an asterisk. If it's not an asterisk, I want to ask, is it a slash? If it is, I want to do this. If it isn't, I want to do this. And then when I'm all done, I want to end, so I'm going to have a curly brace there. Curly braces look a lot like strings, but anyway. The curly brace is down there. Okay. So, now I'm going to run this and hope that I manage to do it right. Does anybody see anything else wrong with it? One of the things I always do when I'm working with curly braces is I always count. Because every open has to have a close. So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 opens. 1, 2, 3, 4 closes. So at least I got the right number. Okay, I might have put them in the wrong place, but at least I got the right number. Okay, so now I'm going to go back, and I want to clear everything out, and I'm going to get my menu bar by right-clicking and getting my menu bar. And do a file, open file, control O also gets the memory bar. I think I put it in the F drive. and there's multiply or divide. So there it is in the F drive, and it is an HTML file. So I've got the right thing. Okay. So I am going to click on that and open it. And at least I got my prompt. So it says enter the first number. I'm going to enter 8. Then I'm going to enter 4. And then I'm going to enter a slash. And I got a 2. Okay, so I entered 8. I entered 4. And I got 2. Now I've got to go back and test it and make sure that it's working. Okay, for the multiply, so I'm going to enter again 8 and 4 and an asterisk, and I got 32. So that's working as well. And now I'm going to enter 8 and 4. And I'm going to enter a, and it said the answer is 2. Whoops. So let's look at what I did wrong. Actually, I don't see what I did wrong. If what to do, and I've got both equals, and equals a slash, then I want to do a divide. Else, I want to put out answer equals an error, which is not 2. Okay. Let's try this one more time. Enter the first number, 8. Enter 4. Enter an A. And I still got the answer is 2. Does anybody, Eric, pay attention, please? Tell me what I did wrong.
Well, it's not,
oh, I'm not writing the same thing.
Yeah, that's not the
question. Duh. Okay, I'm writing the wrong thing. I'm not running the program that I wrote, okay? I'm going back. That makes me feel better because I really did think it was a stupid mistake, but now at least I know what kind of a stupid mistake it was. Okay, so I'm going to do a file, open file, and the one I want is the one in here, which is multiply or divide. And so if I'm putting in an 8... and a 4, and an A. I love it. Okay, so does multiply or divide not have the right thing in it?
It quotes around answer, and you declare answer. No? It worked for me.
Yours worked?
I have
Elson that
I had to put the answer within the
parentheses.
And then give me the error.
Okay, wait a minute. So, cancel. Okay. File, open file, and I'm going for, did I get the right one? I don't actually know that I saved this. I've got too many things opening, going on here now.
I think you did say
that. Yeah, well, we'll see. Multiply or divide. I just want to see the code. T, whatever. No, I didn't save it. Okay, and I made it go away. Wasn't that clever of me? Okay, so I didn't save it. Okay, honest, I think it will work, so let's try it one more time. watch me and tell me if I'm doing something stupid. Okay, I'm going to save as. Okay, we can do this. On the F drive, and I'm going to call this multiply or divide or error. All right? Mm-hmm. So that I actually can keep track of what I call the foolish thing. So I'm saving it. And now I've got to come back in here. And so I'm saying else. And I'm saying if what to do equals, okay, and close parenthesis. So I was about to make the same error. If there is anything, any profession that can make you feel really stupid at times, it is definitely programming. Because you do it and you really think you know what you're doing, and you do something stupid like not saving it. So I long since lost my ego having to do with programming. Okay, does anybody see anything wrong? I did this on purpose just to give you a chance to figure out what was wrong. You don't buy it? All right, so else, if what to do equals a slash, do a divide. Else, put out that answer is error. Does anybody see any mistake that I made? Okay, file, save, and then we're going to come over here and try to run this. So file, open file, and the one I want is this one, and I'm putting in 8, and I'm putting in 4, and I'm putting in an A, and I got an error. Yay! Okay, for extra credit, take this program and figure out how to add in with addition and subtraction so that they will have it and have any of the 4 things. So extra credit, and I need it by next Thursday when we book, because I'll go over to class next Thursday. An extra credit if you can change this program so it can handle addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Yeah.
Can I just show it to you right now?
Get it all done?
Yeah.
Well, then my brain will do it. Yeah.
So I was just kind of typing up all the...
Okay. No, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right. And just send it to me. Because I don't have my grade book here. I'm leaving.